If you would turn in your Bibles to John chapter 9, I titled the message this morning, From Beggar to Believer. And how many of us have ever felt like a beggar? And when I say a beggar, I'm talking about these beggars like you would see along the road that hold the sign up that says homeless, anything helps, God bless, whatever it says. You get the point. In Central America or Mexico, they just sit, they don't hold the signs. They just sit beside the sidewalk with a bowl or a cap or a jar or something, or their hand out even. And they're looking for something to, some of them, that's how they live. That's their where they get their food. People don't give, they don't have anything to eat. Many times they're handicapped. But a beggar is someone who they have nothing. Many times they have nothing. Now Jesus, if in John chapter 9, this section here is actually spans chapter 9 and 10 is all connected, but I don't think we have time to get into all of it. We'll start in verse 59 of chapter 8. It's just the verse right above it. Jesus had been visiting with the Pharisees, certain Pharisees there, and they had gone down through this conversation, and it had gotten warmer and warmer and warmer and warmer. In verse 59, it says, this talking about the Pharisees in the temple. It says, then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. It was a pretty intense situation there, and Jesus exited, right? I don't know how he did, if he made himself invisible or if they all ran to get a stone and he left. I don't know what happened, but he passed by. But in verse 1 of chapter 9, we're going to read down through chapter 9 here. And as Jesus passed by, I don't know if he was still passing, if he was still walking from the temple, I don't know, but as he passed by, verse 1, he's still passing by. He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Jesus says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, the man did, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Isn't this that beggar man, that blind beggar that used to sit over here on the sidewalk and right outside the temple? That's the same one. Some said, This is he. Others said, it's just like him. It's his twin. It's his twin. But the man said, No, it's me. That was me. I was the beggar. Therefore said they unto him, How were your eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Notice that's the second time he said that. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight to confirm his identity. They didn't know if it was, they still didn't quite believe it was the same man. They asked the parents, or asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be excommunicated. He'd be put out of the synagogue. Just, that's a test of your loyalty here. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. I know that much. I don't know if the man's a sinner, I don't know anything about him, but he took me from blindness and gave me eyes to see. I know that. I know that. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? That's the third time that he's going to have to explain this. And there's something, when Jesus says something three times, it makes it true. It seemed like in the culture there, when they say something three times, it gives extra weight. But he didn't say it the third time. Notice what he says. How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Would you also want to be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. We don't even know where he comes from. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is. And yet he hath opened mine eyes. He just comes back to what's obvious. He hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. We know that. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. He's telling them, You're wrong, Pharisees. But they answered and said unto him, You were altogether born in sins, and do you teach us? And they cast him out. They excommunicated him. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. When he had found him, he said unto him, when Jesus had found the man, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. See, the man believed because he was blind. Now he saw. He experienced it firsthand. Now Jesus said, I don't know if Jesus was talking to this man or if he was talking to his disciples, but he said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might not see, and that they which see, excuse me, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Now, Jesus wasn't talking about going around and blinding everybody literally. He was talking about their hearts, the ones that thought they understood what was right, the ones that were so sure they understood what was right that they missed what was right. He said the ones that see might be made blind, and the ones which are blind might see. That's what Jesus said that. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? We're Moses' disciples. We are not blind. We know. And Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now ye say, We see. Therefore, your sin remaineth. And then chapter 10, this is some homework you could do. Read chapter 10, and it goes into more detail about how the blindness of the heart can be lifted. And it goes in the context of Jesus as the shepherd, the one that's the door. His sheep hear his voice. And I think it all goes together, and it wraps it up very well towards the end. Well, I can't lay my eyes on the verse now. I read it this morning, but something about the blind that see, or the light that's come, or something like that. But it goes together with this. But we'll focus on chapter 9 here. But you know, Jesus, or in that era, if somebody had a handicap, many people looked at a handicap as judgment for sin, whether it was sin that they personally committed or sin that their parents committed that was lived out in their generation or in their children. It was generally considered a punishment. A handicap was a punishment. And this man was born blind, so therefore he was paying, obviously, a living proof of somebody's sin. That's how the Pharisees looked at it anyway. And Jesus' disciples also looked at it that way. So the Jesus' disciples asked him, he said, Did this man sin or his parents that he was born blind? And Jesus said, Neither. No one sinned. He was born blind so that God's works can be declared to you and to everybody else. And that's what this is about. It's a very interesting story. But in Sunday school this morning, we talked about, I forget how it was worded, about belief and trust, I think it was, something like that. Belief and trust. You know, faith, believing is knowing and acting on that knowledge. And trust is, I'm going to put it in my own words, as ongoing extension of that faith. Because you can have faith for one time, and we believe that God will meet our needs today. But do we believe that God can meet our needs tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day? So trust is, we could say, is an ongoing belief, maybe. That's maybe one aspect of it. There's other aspects too of it, probably. But this man had a need. He was blind. He was a beggar. He had nothing. He was handicapped. He wasn't able to make a living. And it wasn't because he lived in a poor area. It was because he couldn't see. Who wants to hire a blind man? Would you hire a blind man? I don't know if we have anybody that drives truck, but you can't drive truck if you're blind. Who's going to hire you to cut boards if you're blind? Who's going to hire you to be an office manager if you're blind? You're terribly handicapped if you're blind. And that's what this man was facing. Nobody would hire him. So he would go around with his little cup, and he'd hold it out, you know, and he'd just ask for donations, but he could hear people, and so he probably knew how to yell and beg that way. But he begged for donations. So there was a need, and Jesus was a very good example for us. But it seemed like he went from one intense situation, and as he was passing by, he saw this man. And he stopped and took notice of his need. So the beggar was a beggar I don't know how old he was. I'm going to say he was an adult. He was of age. So he was over 20 years old. We know that. But he... He had a need, and he was just living another day. Just living another day. He didn't know who Jesus was, but Jesus saw him. And Jesus gave a free gift. It doesn't say the man even asked him for it. Look it up. It doesn't say that the man asked him to heal him. The disciples just asked if he had sinned or if his parents sinned. Jesus said neither. It's so that the works of God should be made manifest or be made known, be declared to you, or be declared in him. And Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. So I'm going to say it was a free gift. Jesus stopped. He had compassion on this beggar, and he saw the potential that he could have. And so he gave him a free gift. And the gift was healing. But you know what Jesus did? You know how he healed him? Jesus stopped and he reached down on the ground and got some dust and he made mud with it. He got some clay. It says it was clay. And he formed clay, and he put it over the man's eye. And he got some more clay and he formed it over the man's eye. Now, is there anywhere else in the Bible that God took clay and did something and formed it? Do you know anywhere else where it says that? Where?
Genesis 1.
It's Genesis 2 actually, but yeah, it's in the first part of Genesis. There, it says God took the dust of the ground. He formed the clay. And he breathed into it the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's what it says in Genesis. And wasn't that the works of God being made manifest in Genesis? That was physical life given to man. And also it gave a living soul to man. But now we have God coming back, and there's all these living souls around here, but they don't know him. They don't know who Jesus is. They know his name, but they don't know who he is. And then Jesus took dust and made clay, and he put it over this eye. He's blind. He put it over the other eye. He's blind. And then he just left him there. So he's still blind, but he's got mud slapped on his eyes, and he can't see. And Jesus could have said, you know, be healed. But he didn't. He said, go and wash off the mud that I just put over your eyes. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, if the man, he could have said, this yuck, I don't like mud on my eyes. And he could have gotten angry because, you know, he didn't even ask for this. But he said, he could have gotten very angry, and he could have yelled because he knew how to do that. But he went to the pool of Siloam. Could you imagine the man with mud over his eyes wandering down through the street and trying to find a pool of Siloam? That would have been an awkward situation, wouldn't it? Maybe he had somebody to take him. We don't know. But he went. That was his commandment. He went to the pool of Siloam, and he washed it off. Washed it off. Blinked a little bit. And he could see. He could see! Now, can you imagine the excitement of somebody that's 20 years old? Never saw in his life, because he was born blind. He washed the mud off, and all of a sudden, he can see. Can you imagine that? This man was so excited, he didn't even know what to do. He was beyond excited. And he had a testimony. Look in verse 11. His testimony was that a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. Now what would have happened if he wouldn't have gone and washed? If he would have just scraped it off? He would have still had to wash it off at some point, but he wouldn't have received any blessing. He wouldn't have received a sight. That was his testimony. I went and washed. I was told to go wash. I went and I received sight. That's obedience. You know, Jesus took clay and used it to give sight or light to this man. But in the process, he gave a new life to this man. Even if it was just a physical life, he gave a new life to this man. Now, this man can be a truck driver, or he can be an office manager, or he can be a carpenter, or anything else. He can be hired now because he can see. So he has new life. But Jesus is putting this in a spiritual sense. I am the light of the world. And you know, Jesus also says the light of the body is the eye. If the eye be single or working, if it's working right, the whole body is full of light. But if your eye is evil, your whole body is full of darkness. So if your eyes are, if you can't see, then your whole body is full of darkness. Because the eye is the window that lets the light in, that lets you see, lets you respond to what's around you. It affects your coordination, it affects your livelihood, it affects all this stuff. If the light of the body is single or is working properly, the whole body is full of light. But you know, the soul is that way too. If our spirit, soul, has the light, if the eye is open, then and we can communicate with God, then we're full of light. But if it's shut, then it's full of darkness. I think it's very interesting how many of these miracles that Jesus did. They had surface meanings, but they also have deeper meanings too. And it's very interesting, especially the Gospel of John is full of that. John was one who was very concerned about, or very focused on knowing Jesus. If you notice, John's theme in the Gospel of John and in the Epistles of John. And even in Revelation, it's in knowing Jesus, in revealing Jesus, in loving Jesus, in loving each other. You know, that's John's focus. But it also is practical living for us as well. But in this example here, it's a very good example of salvation. Jesus put the clay on his eyes. He put the clay on his eyes. And he did his part, but the man had to do a part also. You notice that? The man had to do a part in this. He could have chosen to just scrape the mud off and he would have not received the blessing. Would that have made so that Jesus didn't do his part? No. He wouldn't have received the blessing because he didn't accept it. Salvation is free, but God does a part and man does a part. So in this story, he had a testimony. He had a testimony. But in this testimony, Why would there be such opposition to a man that can see? Why would the Pharisees care if there was one less beggar on the street? What would they care? They should have been happy about that. Why did they care that there was no, or that that this man was such a, was so happy? They should have been glad about that. But no, they brought this man to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees questioned him, and he repeats his testimony, which the man that is called Jesus anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go into the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. They didn't like that. Actually, I think they were still angry with Jesus because he got away from them. But I think it's interesting. It says there was a division among the Pharisees. There was a division among the Pharisees. Some said that because he broke the Sabbath, he's a bad man. We can't accept anything he says because he broke the Sabbath. There's others that, the other part of the Pharisees said, well, look what he did. He was fulfilling the law where it says, love your neighbor as yourself. And so there was division there. And there was a division among the Pharisees. There was a couple different schools of thought there. And it's very interesting. Paul used that, he didn't use that division. He used the division among the Sadducees and the Pharisees. But when the Pharisees are testing Jesus, there was a certain segment that upheld different commandments higher than others did. One of them was don't break the Sabbath day. That was almost near the top. That and a couple other ones were really high. But loving your neighbor was down the list a little bit. So they would get on Jesus' case really hard when he would heal somebody on the Sabbath because he broke the law. Anyway, but there was a little division. That's off subject a little bit. But in this opposition, when they asked him the third time, what happened? He said, would you also want to be his disciples? Do you want me to tell you again? Do you want to be his disciples too? Oh, they didn't like that. They did not like that. They said, you were born in sin. The reason we don't know why you're healed now, but you were born in sin. That's why you were blind. And you can't tell us anything because we're Moses' disciples. We're righteous and you're wicked. So you can't teach us anything. That's basically what they told him. He faced opposition for his testimony. But he defended his testimony. He defended his healer. But he was cast out of the synagogue. He was excommunicated for his zeal. And Jesus came to him and said, do you believe on the Son of God? Do you believe? Let me see here. Jesus came to him and he said, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? He didn't know who this was. Now, he didn't know who the Son of God was. Jesus said, you're talking with him now. And then he said, I believe, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. This man went from being a beggar and being in darkness because his eyes were dark, to becoming a believer. He was an outcast from his culture. He was an outcast from maybe some of his friends. I don't know if they were friends or not, but they were from his culture, from his upbringing, from his training, from all that. He was an outcast, but he was a believer because I was blind, but now I see. That happened to him personally, and he became a believer. Now, belief. This man exercised his belief. Or faith, maybe. So he, I don't know if he knew that that washing this off, I don't know if he knew that washing that off was going to, make him see. It doesn't really say that. It just says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. But he took that as a small, he went and did that. That's what he was told. He went and did that. And that belief rewarded, or that faith rewarded him. But belief is the act of believing in God, faith, belief. But trust is ongoing, just continual. It's more of it's a continual reliance on God. But you know what that breeds? It also makes respect and honor. When we have a relationship with God, and we can trust, we believe, and God loves to reward those who diligently seek Him. But that becomes a relationship. When our spirit communicates with God's spirit communicates with ours, there can be a respect and honor that we can give to God, and a reverence. When we, it's like the grain of mustard seed. Faith is like a grain of mustard seed, and it doesn't just give us something, but it gives God things, something as well. It turns into a relationship. Faith, trust, respect, or honor, and reverence. And you know, I was thinking about it in a practical way. When we go to church, you know, one of the reasons that when we go to church, we dress up to go to church. The reason we dress up to go to church is because we serve a wonderful God. And there's a respect, there's an honor, there's a reverence there that we make effort to come and worship, not just in our own, everyday, whatever, which we can. God, we can worship God when we're at work, but when we specifically come together to worship, we do this out of respect for God. And that trust, that honor, that reverence, it all stems back to the gift that He has given when He took us from being a beggar to being a believer. I was just blessed with that story this morning, and I thought I would share that with you, and I hope that God can use that in whatever way He sees. But God bless each one of you here. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father, we come to You. We thank You that You love us. We thank You that You take notice of us as You pass by, and that You have given us the gift of salvation. You've taken us from being a beggar and made us into believers. And Lord, we want to continue that into trust and respect and worship. Father, we just ask a blessing on each one that's here today. Would You continue to guide us in our journey through life? Would You open doors, close doors, make Your will plain to us as we travel through this life? We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's have a song this time.